I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Elizabeth Warren is one of the most corrupt politicians to ever step foot in Washington. Believe it or not, but on the surface, some people actually think that Warren is actually a great politician, and she's doing all the right things. But it's behind the curtain while her best work is done. That's the stuff no one knows about. Her entire career is literally a warpath of half-truths and covered-up lies. And it's time we put this to bed once and for all. Because certainly, no one else will go to bed with Elizabeth Warren. Let's get it. Welcome to BitBoy Crypto. My name is Ben. In this video, we're going to continue to pull back the curtain to expose the real Elizabeth Warren. For those of you who don't know, it's not the first video we've done on Elizabeth Warren. Some of you might think that we're only going after her because she's creating an anti-crypto army. But in all honesty, that's just a cherry on top in terms of her being nothing short of a cancer in American politics. In fact, just a few weeks ago, we put out this video here, and as good as it was, it barely scratches the surface on the truth behind the Democrats' darling. If you want to watch that video, there's a link in our description. For context, I'll give you a quick rundown. Once Elizabeth dropped out of school, got married, had kids, got divorced, kept the same name, went back to school, graduated, and started applying to universities as a professor, this is where things really started to get bad for Miss Warren, or whatever her name is. For the first time in her life, on her university applications, she identified as a Native American. She wrongly ran with this narrative for way too long. Of course, she did this for her own personal gain, but this lie ran so deep that colleges like Harvard and the University of Pennsylvania even touted her around as a minority professor, which couldn't be further from the truth. To be honest, this was the lie that single-handedly ruined her career for the White House. I can't even stress how disgusting of a lie this is. The lie is one thing, but how hard she stuck to it was the most egregious part. She took a DNA test, didn't matter. She apologized on national TV, and it didn't matter. It was so bad that Chuck Hoskin, Cherokee Nation Secretary of State, went on TV and told everyone how the DNA test made it worse. Something I didn't add in the last video was that when Chuck Hoskin was asked what he thought about Donald Trump calling Warren Pocahontas, Hoskin said that she didn't deserve it. Ouch. He's saying she didn't deserve to be called Pocahontas because she's not Native American. What else did she lie about? She lied about her parents' marriage, saying they got eloped when they didn't. She lied about her own kids going to public schools. She lied about how her presidential run was funded. She lied about how she was going to fund her healthcare plan as president. And this next one is my favorite. Elizabeth Warren plagiarized French recipes from a newspaper and put them in a Native American cookbook called Pow Wow Chow. She can't even deny that this was a straight up copy and paste from the ingredients to the recipes, right down to the 7-inch Teflon pan. This is the type of crazy we're dealing with here. This type of woman that has made a career for herself on the backs of minorities. This is the same woman who goes on Twitter and rallies up the Democrats by saying, tax the rich. But she's worth about $12 million. If you look up the word hypocrite in the Pictionary, it should show a photo of Elizabeth Warren dancing in the rain, where the rain is your misappropriated tax money. I've always loved the quote, absolute power corrupts absolutely. One person being corrupt is one thing. It gets really scary though when corrupt politicians work together behind the curtains to rig the game against retail investors. Do you remember the time Elizabeth Warren colluded with Gary Gensler and sent him a list of questions for him to approve before an oversight hearing? Don't believe me? Watch this.
All right, a bombshell report tonight about how Elizabeth Warren, Senator Elizabeth Warren, and her office coordinated testimony with the Securities and Exchange Commission ahead of a Senate hearing. The Heritage Foundation Oversight Project, of which I'm associated, through a FOIA request, obtained emails from Warren's office to the office of Chairman Gary Gensler 2 days before his Senate testimony back in September of 2021. The email from Warren's economic policy advisor includes a list of questions. Get this, a list of questions that Senator Warren planned to ask, along with suggested answers for the chairman of the SEC. The advisor also wrote, quote, let me know if you're okay with the questions as currently written. 2 days later, she sent a follow-up, quote, let me know if it's looking like the chair has any issue with the framing of the questions. Definitely don't want to put him in a tough spot, end quote. And it appears the chairman didn't have any issue with these questions because Senator Warren asked almost verbatim from the email. Check this out.
Chair Gensler, advocates say crypto markets are all about financial inclusion, but the people who are most economically vulnerable are the ones who are most likely to have to withdraw their money the fastest when the market drops. Does this sound like the path to financial inclusion to you?
Listen to me. This was supposed to be an oversight hearing, not a polite game of inside baseball. She had an opportunity to hold Gensler accountable for his actions, but she would rather use that time to rig the deck against her constituents. Can't believe she did that in an oversight hearing. She should have lost her job right then and there. For some reason, the Democrats continue to look past the lies and drink the Kool-Aid. Warren continues to raise the bar time and time again for dirty politics. And this is the woman who Massachusetts might vote in for a third term. Give me a break. I don't know if you know this, but I know that there's more than one conflict of interest between Gary Gensler and Elizabeth Warren. That's because Dirty Gary's daughter actually interned for Elizabeth Warren back in 2017. How convenient. Considering Warren pays her interns more than anyone else in Congress, this is cronyism at its finest, ladies and gents. And they've been working together to force their agenda for years. I wonder what dirt she has on him, because when she as much as mentions something, he makes it happen. Look at this article from the New York Post. It reads, when she says jump, the answer is how high. Gensler has been jumping high for Warren from the moment he took over the SEC. Warren wants more diversity on corporate boards, and Gensler suddenly pushed for a board diversity disclosure mandate for public companies. The article goes on to say that Warren wanted to stop stock traders from gaming payment order flow, and boom, Gensler comes out and starts going against it. That's exactly what the two of them are doing now with crypto. They've been colluding together for years, and it has to stop. That's not even the worst of it. We already know that Gary Gensler had close ties to SBF, but it turns out that Elizabeth Warren actually had close ties with SBF's father, Joe Bankman. Back in 2016, Joe Bankman actually endorsed Warren's tax legislation. Is this even a surprise to anyone at all, honestly? Explains a lot, because back when FTX fell and Warren came out and tweeted about it, not once did she mention Sam's name. Once. Does that have anything to do with the fact that SBF was the second largest donor in the previous election cycle? Probably. It's the same reason that the New York Times ran a puff piece on Sam and made him look like a saint after he stole billions of dollars from his users. That was the same money that went to the Democrats. So of course, the left-wing media and the politicians did everything they could to protect their friends while they simultaneously put the rest of the crypto industry in a guillotine. I actually find it funny that the left holds Elizabeth Warren in such high esteem and high regard, because the truth is, she spent the majority of her life as a passionate Republican. Yes, you heard me correctly. Elizabeth Warren voted Republican until she turned 47. Don't believe me? Here's a photo of a 1996 voter's card with her name, and it says Republican. She voted Republican multiple times before that too. Of course, Warren will downplay her reasoning and lie about it. She'll tell you how she wasn't very political growing up, but once again, she gets caught in another lie. One of Warren's lifelong friends, Katarina Harry, told Politico that Elizabeth talked politics nonstop in high school and was a diehard conservative. When one of Warren's old colleagues, Gary Francione, found out that she changed sides, Gary stated that he almost fell out of his chair. This is the type of wolf in sheep's clothing we're dealing with here. Did she change because she really cares? Or because she moved from Texas to Massachusetts, got a job at Harvard? We are talking about a woman who will lie about absolutely anything to paint the picture she wants you to see. Want to know about someone else who Elizabeth Warren cheated? Scott Brown. This is who Warren stole her seat in the Senate from in Massachusetts back in 2012. Like anything else, she would downplay this to no end. But Brown really did get the raw end of this deal back in the day. As a result of the lawsuit, $276,000 taxpayer dollars were spent to send voter registration forms to 500,000 welfare recipients. Obviously, the welfare votes are more likely to vote blue than red, and that's exactly what put Warren on top in that election. The dirty part of the story here is that the lawsuit that got these voter forms sent out was filed by a left-wing nonprofit called Demos. And who was on the Demos board at the time? Elizabeth Warren's daughter, Amelia Warren. Wow. Just wow. To defend themselves, the Warren family will point to the 1993 National Voter Registration Act and the Motor Voter Law that allowed them to do this. On the other side of the coin, Scott Brown said in a written statement, I want every legal vote to count, but it's outrageous to use taxpayer dollars to register welfare recipients as part of a special effort to boost one political party over another. This effort to sign up welfare recipients is being aided by Elizabeth Warren's daughter, and it's clearly designed to benefit her mother's political campaign. Just another lie to add to the lengthy list of Elizabeth Warren's illustrious political career. And this is the lie that landed her a seat in the United States Senate. The list just never ends. It's one thing after another. Look at this tweet from John Deaton. Elizabeth Warren is a fraud because she abandoned her constituents and refused to even speak to John or her own constituents because she couldn't risk being seen on the same side as billionaires. Elizabeth Warren doesn't want to be seen with billionaires. That's funny, because when she was a lawyer, all she did was work with billionaires. When Warren made her bid in the 2020 election, Pete Buttigieg put her under fire for not revealing her past compensation from corporate clients. Look at this article for Politico. Its headline reads, Warren made $1.9 million from corporate and financial legal work. Funny part is, it's not even the grand total, because she only ended up revealing the numbers from a fraction of her career. I wonder why she would release some of it and not all of it. Because even what she released was very damning for a woman who cares so much about mom and pop businesses. Ironically, the Warren campaign disclosed the income from 42 cases, while most of them was money from defending travelers' insurance in cases dealing with victims of asbestos poisoning. But a case they did not release compensation records for was when Warren consulted for an oil company during a bankruptcy filing by Texaco. Imagine that. They won't give us a phone number she profited when she was shoulder to shoulder with big oil billionaires. What about the times she worked with LTV Steel, Sears, Enron, and Bank of America? I don't have a problem if people work for big corporations, but this is supposed to be the woman who cares about the little people. She only cares about the little people because they outnumber the rich ones in the voting booth. Jim Barnett, a spokesperson for Scott Brown, the guy she cheated out of a Senate seat, sums it up perfectly. She is family entrenched in the same 1% she rails against, and she is more than happy to make tens of thousands of dollars defending powerful insurance companies against middle-class victims. Scott Brown even ran a campaign ad against Warren because of work with LTV Steel. He called her a hired gun who sided against the working people. She's been taking food off of mom and pop's tables her whole career. But now she uses keywords like mom and pop to leverage those votes. This is her entire game. Look at this tweet about the debt ceiling issue. She's saying the Republicans are holding our economy hostage. Listen here, Lizzie. A negotiation is not a hostage situation. Our country would be able to pay our bills if the Democrats didn't spend trillions and trillions of dollars. I completely agree with Ryan Selgus from Missouri in this tweet here. We can't afford four more years of the Warren administration. Our financial system and broader economy will implode. We need capable and younger candidates that will have to live with the consequences of their policies. Ryan is 100% right. We literally can't afford it. But that doesn't stop the Democrats from deferring all of the blame. According to Joe Biden, he is blameless for the debt ceiling issue and inflation is all Curtis's fault. These are the thought leaders who are driving our dollar down faster than a doge in a bear market. We shouldn't be spending less. We should just raise the taxes again, right? Look at this tweet from just the other day. Warren says that 80% of Americans believe that large corporations and the ultra wealthy should be paying more in taxes. This is a perfect example on how she has stayed in power all these years. She pulls on the emotional strings of all the wealthy people who outnumber wealthy people by a long shot to back up her insane ideas on what tax regulation should look like. To combat this, has she considered the fact that 77% of American households hold some form of debt? Of course, a large percentage of people out there are going to feel a certain type of way about the billionaires of the world. But that's not an excuse to Trojan horse unrealistic tax regulation. This is just what she does. This is the game plan. She used the 2008 banking crisis to justify creating a CFPB. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is an overpaid government agency that operates completely unimpeded from Congress. It basically ruined banking and what banks are allowed to do. What she did with the CFPB is exactly what she's going to do with crypto. She's going to try to use the fall of FTX and Celsius as an excuse. And she's going to once again twist the Constitution to the point it's unrecognizable. This anti-crypto army isn't to help garner crypto innovation, it's to ruin crypto adoption as we know it. Bitcoin and crypto as we know it was also created as a response to the 2008 financial crisis. Crypto was formed to protect our own financial freedom and our financial sovereignty from the legacy system. The reason she hates that so much is because she can't control it. She's going to say the words drug lords and money launderers over and over and over again till she gets her point across. She's going to pull on the emotional strings of the uninformed to push her insane ideas. All she's doing here is sticking to the playbook. Warren's bill, the Digital Asset Anti-Money Laundering Act, is all about prohibiting mixers, privacy coins, and anything that has anything to do with you having a single ounce of financial privacy. It would require any and all decentralized exchanges to comply with insane KYC and AML requirements. This bill is a catastrophe for civil liberties. Privacy is not a crime, it's a right. Her wanting to turn KYC up to a 0.11 is the real crime here. Warren's logic here is basically that if crimes happen in bathroom stalls, that there should be cameras in bathroom stalls. Listen, there should never be cameras in bathroom stalls. We should be fighting the crime, not invading everyone's privacy. Classic backwards thinking, once again, from the Democratic darling. Look at this Critter Site article from earlier this month. She manipulates everything that people are afraid of and connects to in crypto. Here's another example. Look at this quote from Warren. Across the crypto market, the big investors are funding, hyping, and the vampires sucking money out of crypto projects that scam mom and pop investors. Classic Warren manipulation. It's all about saving those mom and pop investors that she cares so much about. It's all about pandering to her base that keeps her in power. She instills fear in them and uses it as a pawn to push her insane deals. It's also very clear that she doesn't understand crypto at all. Last April, she did an interview on Meet the Press reports, and then she said, if I buy Bitcoin, what am I buying? Are you buying air? With Bitcoin, there's no underlying asset that backs it up. Want to see how much she gets it? Watch this video right here.
Or like, why isn't it platinum or silver? Since there's a finite amount of this, if we just look at Bitcoin, forget it, the idea is that there's a finite amount of Bitcoin that can be created by these computer programs.
Well, sort of.
Do you accept that?
No, actually, I'm not even sure I'm there with you. Look, at the end of the day, with platinum, there's actually a thing.
She has absolutely no idea what she's talking about. With this quote alone, I can clearly see what she's missing, and it's the most important part. In fact, Bitcoin is global, it doesn't come from one country, is a reason why it's so valuable. It's not backed by air, it is backed by math. And that math will not let anyone create any more Bitcoin ever. People have clearly chosen Bitcoin over the dollar because Bitcoin can't be manipulated by any government. You can't turn the Bitcoin printer on to get out of a pinch and consequently devalue everyone else's Bitcoin. That's exactly what cheap politicians like Warren have been doing forever. And she doesn't like it because she can't control it. The reason we need decentralization is to protect ourselves from lifelong liars who have far too much power. Just imagine how much harder it's going to be for crypto to flourish in America if she wins re-election. If you live or know anyone who lives in Massachusetts, please send them this video immediately. Corruption has got to stop. Let me know in the comments down below what you like more, decentralization or Elizabeth Warren invading your privacy. I wonder who's going to win that one. That's all I got. Be blessed. Pip-Boy out.